climb to the dark as you give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. You only. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. You owe me. Shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out. In our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. You only.
Hallelujah! 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 Jesus, Jesus.
Shout your praise, our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. All the earth will shout your praise, our hearts will cry. hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour. So we pour out our praise, you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise, you only.
For your goodness.
Yes. You may be seated if you'd like.
Breathe on us.
You may be seated if you would like.
Your love is devoted like a ring of solid gold, like a vow that is tested.
Worthy are you, Lord. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
Hallelujah. What a great atmosphere for God to do something great in this place today. Thank you, Lord, for your power and your presence that is here, Lord. Lord, you're not just present, but your power is in this place also in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We ask you, ushers, to come at this time. Brother Gary, will you pray for the offering?
Praise your name.
Amen.
Our God, every praise
Every praise. Every praise. Jesus in his triumphal entry into the city of Jerusalem on what we commonly call Palm Sunday, which is what today is if you celebrate in that sense of Sunday before Easter. And we understand that what happened as they entered into the city of Jerusalem, put palm branches and they took their coats off and they spread them in the way, and Jesus riding on the donkey in the city of Jerusalem. The Pharisees said, "Hey, tell them to be quiet." Jesus said, "If they hold their peace, the rocks will cry out." I'm so thankful I don't have to have a rock to cry out in my place. I can lift my voice. I can sing praises unto God. I can sing hallelujah. Every praise belongs to Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Feels good to be in the house of the Lord. I allow you to be seated. I do want to remind you of a few things by way of announcement. Tonight we are continuing in our Financial Peace University, financial stewardship. The tagline for it is God's money, God's way, for God's glory. And so we invite you to come and be a part of that as we learn about how to handle finances according to the plan of God. And we will only benefit by doing so and taking what we learn in these lessons and applying them into our lives. And so we encourage you to come be a part of that. Right after service, there is some baked goods for sale. And we encourage you to buy donation only. There's no set price, but we ask that you would give. There's a donation box there. These funds are going to help our young people go to Illinois Youth Convention. That's happening this week. They're leaving on Wednesday, and we'll be there Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. And I looked over the schedule, and I noticed that two of the speakers are friends of mine from Florida that I know quite well. And it's kind of, man, a lot of Florida representation going on in the Illinois district. Brother Victor Jackson, Brother Joe Campitella are going to be speaking, two of the speakers there at Illinois Youth Convention. And then during our camp meeting, during the summer, our Illinois District camp meeting, somebody I know pretty well, my cousin, is going to be preaching or teaching during the day sessions, Brother Jody Wells. And so they're representing the Florida District pretty well. And Illinois is reaching down south and getting some good guys. And so we encourage you to come and be a part of those things that are happening. Encourage, pray for our young people as they are going to be there at Illinois Youth Convention, that God would deal with them and help them. They would be ministered to. I know they will have a great time together. Pray for the chaperones, those that are going to help and corral. And so we're just thankful they have the opportunity to go. So that bake sale afterwards is for that, and those proceeds will go to help them. Next week is Easter, in case you didn't know that. And we are going to have a special service. We will not have the two service format that we normally have. It will be one continuous service there on Easter. There will be no PM activities here next Sunday night. No Financial Peace University. We will have the Sunday morning service only. We ask you please bring a bag of individually wrapped candy. We are going to have a candy rain. There's some lucky people that are going to get to go all the way to the top of the bell tower and throw down candy at kids. No, I'm kidding. We're not going to throw it at the kids, but we're going to throw it down in a candy rain for the kids a little twist on an Easter egg hunt. Not really hunting Easter eggs, or catching candy from the sky. So we're going to do that, but in order to do that, we need candy. Because if we don't have candy to throw down, it's going to be a pretty boring candy rain. We don't want a candy sprinkle. We want a candy rain. And so we ask that you would please bring a bag of individually wrapped candy. If we get every family to do that, we would have should have more than enough to provide a good shower of candy on Sunday. And I encourage you to come be a part of that Sunday morning service starting at 10 a.m. Regular midweek service Bible study happening Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Encourage you to come and be a part of that as well. Let's take some needs to the Lord in prayer. Ask you to remember Brother Ryan, Sister Rachel Wallace. They are both not feeling well this morning. Maybe it'll be here this morning. Also, don't know how many of you are aware of this, but Reverend Norman Pasley, who is a pastor in the state of Ohio, Cincinnati area, a great man of faith, a hero among us, has been battling some pretty serious health issues since the middle of December of last year. He's been in the hospital and has just been struggling. And we were made aware that yesterday he did pass from this life. And so 61 years of age, leaving back a great church, great family. And I know that they would covet your prayers for their comfort. Although we rest assured in the promise that we have in Jesus Christ, and his eternal reward, we also know that it is tough dealing with the loss of a loved one and with circumstances such as these. So we ask that you would remember the Pasley family in prayer. I know that there are a number of other needs that are probably represented here in the house. And if you have a need, why don't you just slip up your hand? The Lord knows that need, signifying that you recognize that we are in a place to touch the presence of God. And so why don't you stand to your feet right now? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Jesus, we love you. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, to lift your name in praise, God, to adore you for your goodness and your mercy. We realize, God, that this day marks the day that you made your entry into the city of Jerusalem. We're inspected, God, of those to be the sacrificial lamb that would take away the sins of the world. We know that during that process, Lord, you were beat with a cat of nine tails. Your word tells us that by your stripes we are healed, God. And we can come in faith believing and knowing, God, that we have healing through your sacrifice. Through what you took upon yourself, Lord, I pray for the Pasley family, God, that you would be with them, be a comfort and a help. I know their strength comes from you, God. And they turn to you in this hour, God, to deal with the tragedy and the sorrow that no doubt has swept in. God, I pray that you would help them. You would encourage them, strengthen them. God, let the prayers of brothers and sisters that surround their life, God, lift them up, God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. We honor you. We thank you for Brother Ryan and Sister Rachel. God, we cry out unto you, God, on their behalf, that you would heal, that you would raise them up and restore them. What an honor it is to know you and to serve you, God, to find your strength and your help, your love. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Why don't you applaud the Lord for his goodness? Thank you, Jesus. While you're standing, I ask that you would grab your Bibles. Turn in them to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 17. If you came this morning expecting to hear a message on the triumphal entry, well, you may just be disappointed. That is not where the Lord has led me, and so I've always found that it's always better to follow the leading of the Lord. It's always better, always works out better. So I would draw your attention to 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Begin reading in verse number 40. A very familiar passage of Scripture for many. He took his staff in his hand and chose him five smooth stones. Everybody say smooth stones. Chose him five smooth stones out of the brook. Put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near unto David, and the man that bare the shield went before him. When the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and a fair countenance. The Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves, sticks. The Philistine cursed David by his gods. Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give thy flesh unto the fowls of the air and to the beast of the field. Then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Let me stop right here and say this. Goliath looks at David. He says, boy, I'm paraphrasing. I'm going to whoop you. I'm going to feed your carcass to the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. But David looks back at Goliath and says, I'm going to whoop you and everybody behind you. Look at what he says. He says, I'm going to slay you and the host of the Philistines. This little old whippersnapper. Look at this big old giant. Giant says, boy, I'm going to get you. And the little boy looks up and says, man, I'm going to get you and everybody behind you. Just thought I'd point that out. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Many of us, if you have not heard, you probably already recognize the outcome of the story. David and Goliath. With the help of the Lord, I want to preach to you upon this subject. Smooth stones slay giants. Smooth stones slay giants. The Bible says that when David went down to meet Goliath in the valley, he stopped at a brook. Verse 40 says, and he took a staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had even in a scrip, and a sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. I want to preach to you upon the subject. Smooth stones slay giants. Don't say that too fast. It's a tongue twister. Smooth stones slay giants. Can we pray? Lord Jesus, we love you. God, I thank you for another awesome opportunity to stand before precious people and preach this wonderful word. God, I pray that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word, that we would see here in this story, God, examples, God, that we can apply to our own lives, God, to understand the way in which you work. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. We give you glory for who you are and what you do. You are so wonderful, God. And we consider it such an honor to know you and to serve you, to read from your word, to study, to show ourselves approved unto you, God, following your will and your way for each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray, and everybody said amen. If you clap your hands, you may be seated. Smooth stones slay giants. It's one of the most recognized stories in all the Bible. Even in our day, when there's a competition between contestants with an apparent inequality, where there is one seemingly superior against another who is obviously an underdog, it is touted as a David and Goliath match. A ruddy youth of fair countenance, the Bible calls him, one who is novice in war, against a robust, battle-hardened warrior of much experience. And while we now have the luxury of hindsight and know the outcome, we know what happened. I didn't read the end of the story, but anybody who spent any time in a Sunday school class can tell you that David defeats Goliath. We know the end of the story. We have the luxury of hindsight and know the outcome. However, those viewing the scene playing out before them that day certainly must have had their doubts. David would be anything but dead at the end of the day. Those it looked upon, they surely some admired the young boy's bravery, while others thought his actions were born of impulsive youthful ignorance. But either way, They all probably felt they were going to witness the champion of the Philistines named Goliath walk from the battlefield victorious. But then it happened. Then that unlikely thing took place. Then that thing that must have astonished all the onlookers as they saw this young David who looks back at the big man that says, I'm going to beat you. And he rebuts and says, I'm not only going to beat you, but everybody behind you. No doubt the arrogance of this young lad must have further infuriated Goliath. Because it's possible that as David ran, the Bible said, David ran to meet Goliath. It's possible. You see, most of the time in battles like that, there would be a face guard that would come down over the helmet. And it was obvious by what took place that Goliath didn't even take the time, nor was he concerned with covering his face. It was a fatal mistake. David, no novice with a sling, began to whirl it around his head. And he released the rock that found its mark. And we all know the giant collapsed before them all. And David then went up and unsheathed Goliath's own sword and beheaded him right there in front of everybody. The Bible says a great shout went out from the camp, and I wonder if the shout that rose from the Israelite camp when they saw the giant collapse was as much of a shout of elation as it was a shout of absolute surprise. What? Did you see that? No doubt they were, if I scared you, I apologize. No doubt they were astonished. This young, youthful lad has just beaten this great champion, this Goliath, this giant of men that was an imposing figure to say the least. And the Bible gives statistics about how tall he was and how heavy his armor was and how big the spear was and all of this stuff that seems so amazing. And yet he collapses before this young David. David takes his head. While we often focus upon the obvious mismatch and the unlikely outcome that resulted on that day, I would instead like to focus on some things that happened and some deeds that were done before the giant ever fell. Some things that happened, some things that we can see in David's life, the things that let us know that the match wasn't as unmatched as we may have thought. I am in no way, shape, or form going to take anything away from the miraculous. I am not in any way, shape, or form going to say that what happened on the battlefield that day was an expected outcome. I do not think it was. But what I would like to point out is that there are some things that took place in the life of David, even to his selection of smooth stones, that let us know he came equipped and he came prepared. It wasn't just youthful, impulsive ignorance that caused him to challenge Goliath on that day. It was something that maybe had been simmering in his spirit for a long time. It was practice that had gone forth time and time again. One of the first things I noticed in the story, if you look back at 1 Samuel, same chapter where when we read, and you go back to verses 17 through 18, this is how David came to be on the battlefield. David was not a warrior. David was not with Saul's army. David was not with his older brethren, who the best we can tell didn't really care much for him in the first place. David came on an errand. David came, and Jesse said unto David, verse 17, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. This I've come to know, I've seen in the story, that often it is simple service that will often place us in position for great exploits. It is just doing sometimes what seems to be menial task. It was just the opportunity for David to make a delivery. It was just him. He was willing to do what his father had asked him to do and simply just make a delivery to his brother. And listen, we need to understand, we need to never underestimate the magnitude of menial task, of just doing simple things, of just being faithful over a few things, of just determining whatever my hand findeth to do, I'm going to do it with all my might. If Father asked me to be a delivery boy, and the only thing I can do is take some bread and some corn and some cheese, well, then I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. need to understand David was a delivery boy and a sheep watcher before he was a giant slayer. I'll say that again. David was a delivery boy and a sheep watcher before he was ever a giant slayer. He was one who was studious in the task that had been given unto him. He was even one that took time to make sure menial tasks were done. And what are you saying? I'm saying that those things prepare someone for when the battle eventually comes. If they've spent enough time doing seemingly insignificant stuff. Spend time and practice. They've been faithful over a few things. The Bible says that being faithful over a few things is a prerequisite for being a ruler over many. And then the Bible says that his father told him, look how thy brethren fare. Go to look on your brother. See how your brothers do. Philippians 2, 3 and 4 says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. We need to understand the story would show us that some of the greatest victories start with simply looking on the needs of others. Simply taking time out of our schedule to make sure someone else and their needs are being met. David is that example. David shows us the significance of such. And then the Bible tells us, and here's where I would like to focus the majority of the message. The Bible tells us that after David attempts to put on Saul's armor and realizes that he has not proved it and sheds the armor of King Saul, he takes his stick or his staff in his hand and his sling, and he makes his way down into the valley, and he stops at a brook in the valley, and the Bible says that he selects 5 smooth stones. So I begin to ponder that and think upon that. It began to reveal some things to me. One of the things that it revealed to me was that David was not a novice slinger. It was not his first time with a sling. It was not his first time selecting the right stone with the right weight and the right texture. Maybe he had to reach just a little bit deeper to find the one that had been there for a while. Maybe he had to shuffle a few aside that were still jagged and rugged. And his fingers had to find the ones that were smooth. The ones that had spent time submerged under the water. The ones who had become smooth over time because of the constant pressure and the constant resistance of water that was running over them. And they might have started as rough and had edges, but now they were smooth. And as David reached into the water and his experienced fingers found some smooth stones, he selected them. 1, 2. We don't know how long he stopped. We don't know what period of time it took him to select 5 smooth stones. He selected them. As David knew, as an experienced slinger, David knew that smooth stones are the ones that fly true. Smooth stones are the ones that will maintain a certain flight pattern and a certain trajectory. David knew if my fingers find some rough ones, I might not be so sure as to how they're going to fly. We understand. I don't think that it was maybe something that was studied in his day, but we understand a little bit about aerodynamics. How that wind travels over a surface. Now that if you have rough and jagged edges and you throw something with rough or jagged edges, the wind currents and the air moving upon that object will cause it to deviate or change in trajectory. That's why David selected, and that's why the Bible points out that he selected smooth stones. He realized it was smooth stones are there because they've spent much time in the water. They've dealt with resistance. The rough edges have been smooth. This wasn't David's first attempt at slinging a stone. It wasn't his first day with an opportunity to sling a stone at something. David was a practiced slinger. heard something the other day, a quote that the more I thought about it, the more I realized how true it was. The quote was this: practice is controlled failure. Practice is controlled failure. Might I say that David was able to hit Goliath on that day because David had a lot of other misses under his belt. Now you see where I'm going. David was able. I'm not taking away from the miraculous. I'm not taking away from what God did on that day. What I'm simply saying is that if we think David came on that day as his first day as a slinger, we need to recognize he selected smooth stones because he knew how smooth stones fly. David, no doubt, had experienced a multitude of misses. He had spent time watching the sheep, but he had also spent time spinning that sling around his head and trying to let it go at the right time. And he had spent hours upon hours probably practicing. Controlled failure. Ha! Missed. Another smooth stone. Oh, that one's a little better. That one's just the right size. Closer. Another stone. Got it. Begin to wonder how many wolves and other predators, how many other things had David used, or how many other animals had David dissuaded from attacking his father's flock with his sling. It was practice. We need to understand practice, it is true, helps make perfect. I don't discount the miraculous of God, but I also understand that God uses a vessel who is willing, a vessel who is open, a vessel who has spent time. And David undoubtedly had spent a lot of time prior to that match on that day slinging the sling. He knew how it was going to work. He knew how many revolutions were necessary. He could tell by the swinging. He could tell by the centrifugal force that was generated as he swung the sling above his head. And he knew at what time to let it go. It's practice. Many hours of controlled failure. Just like the smooth stones, it had spent many hours as the water rushed over, smooth out the edges and made them stones that would be selected by an experienced hand. Could it feel as he reached into the water, the texture, the weight of the stone, its shape, the amount of revolutions that he would need to release a stone of that weight at the right time, just at the right moment? How did David know these things? Well, because David didn't just play the harp and sing songs to the sheep. He knew how to sling a stone to protect them. He knew how to select the right stone. He knew how to make sure he was armed and he was equipped. He knew the selection of the stone was important. He understood smooth stones slay giants, because the hand that plucks them from the brook is familiar with their feel. Those prayer meetings on the backside of the desert prepare you for selection of the right stones on the battlefield. When the time comes and the giant Goliath stands in my way, have I prepared? Have I had enough practice failure? Have I had enough controlled understanding of how things work and what I must do? So when the giant comes and he defies and he ridicules, I'm able to say, not only am I going to take you, but I'm going to take all those guys behind you. Why? Because I know in whom I have believed, and I haven't just... It's not just a statement of faith. We need to understand faith without works is dead. It's the reason why David could look at Saul and said, hey, I know that God can give me this Goliath. How do you know that, David? Because there came a bear and there came a lion, and it came to take a sheep out of my father's flock, and I rose up and slew it. This uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them.
David, how do you know? Because there's been enough controlled failure in my life. David, did you always hit the mark every time you slung the sling? No, I did not. I missed many times, but what I've come to understand is that it's going to take a lot of misses. It's going to take a lot of mistakes. It's going to take a lot of failures. But if I'll just keep learning and I'll just keep doing it, when the time comes, God's going to help me and it's going to meet its mark. Smooth stones slay giants. The practice that comes from fighting off the wolves and the little foxes, the many misses, the practice that is controlled failure, it's removed the rough edges, and now smooth is the stone that's set in flight towards the foe. Five smooth stones he selected, because smooth stones slay giants. Certainly, the stone in relation to a giant is small. Certainly, the percentage, the availability of the rock hitting its mark is much more probable that it would have bounced off a shield or a helmet or a piece of armor, but the stone found its mark. He's saying, Pastor, just this, keep practicing. You're going to fail, you're going to mess up, you're going to make mistakes. Stay submerged in the river as a smooth stone. Let the resistance and let the pressure continue to happen. Don't pull yourself out too early. Don't let there be rough edges in your life. Let the Word of God wash over you and let it smooth out the rough edges. It's going to take some time. Be patient with the process. Understand before long you'll have it to where it'll fly straight and true and it'll hit its mark because smooth stones slay giants. Flying straight and true will only come when time and practice have smoothed out the rough edges. So begin to look a little further into the story. The Bible specifically says that David selected five smooth stones. Five. Not two, not three. Four, not six, five. Obviously, there's some conjecture as to why five. What's the reasoning? I don't know. Maybe, just maybe. I'm not saying it's emphatically true, but maybe it was somewhat prophetic. Maybe David didn't really understand why he drew out five smooth stones. However, if you look at 2 Samuel chapter number 21, you will find there are four other men who are related to and most probably the brothers of Goliath. And if you read 2 Samuel chapter number 21, you will find not only was Goliath slain on that day in front of David, but in the years that would come after, four other giants related to Goliath would fall. 2 Samuel 21 verse 22 says this: these four were born to the giant in Gath and fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servants. Five smooth stones, Goliath and four brothers. Landon can do that math. Maybe five smooth stones for five big giants. Because smooth stones slay giants. I'm closing. You can stand to your feet. Often we wish to focus on the epic battle. The time when David met Goliath on the battlefield and Goliath fell. No doubt it is worth teaching and preaching again and again. I would that we would never ever neglect the understanding of the preparation that had to take place first. The things that David did as a young lad, it prepared him for that fateful day. We would always understand smooth stones slay giants. I believe it is Proverbs that tells us, take us, the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. Never underestimate the power of little things, of small things. If it happens in relation to spoiling of the vine, if it happens in relation to the enemy and its use and its desire to destroy us, well then certainly it happens in the inverse. It happens in our ability to overcome and fight giants. What I've come to learn in my walk in relationship with God, the epic battles that have been won, the giants that have been slain, I realize the great battle is a culmination of that, but it's all the little things that led up to that which really make the difference. It's all the practice when nobody's watching. It's all the praying when it's only sheep that hear. It's all the misses that we'd rather forget and get past. It's all the failures that follow behind us but have yet helped us be where we are today. It's just simply this. Smooth stones slay giants. Whatever it is in the life, whether it's an addiction, whether it's past relationship gone wrong, unforgiveness, bitterness, whatever it is in my life that stands as a giant, opposes progress, keeps me continuing in the will of God. Whatever giant stands in the valley of my life and mocks me, keeps me cowering in a tent and not coming to confront. Let me tell you, it's smooth stones that slay giants. It's having a daily devotion. It's praying. Not just a called prayer meetings or time that's praying when nobody else sees. It's practice. But I've made mistakes. Yeah, so have I. And I'll make more. But I've come to realize that it's controlled failure. I'm getting better. And now I hit the tree. Instead of 1 out of 5, now it's 2 out of 5. And before long, it'll be 3 out of 5. And then I'll hit a 4 out of 5. And then I'll hit a perfect streak of 5 out of 5. And then I'll miss a couple more times. And then I'll get back. And then, what are you saying? Smooth stones slay giants. Just keep plugging away. Just keep believing. Just keep putting forth the effort. Just keep swinging. Just keep turning the sling above your head. What are you saying, Pastor? Smooth stones slay giants. There's rough edges that still need to be smoothed out. There's things about my life, and I'm sure there's things about yours that I need to be rid of so that I fly true and straight and hit the mark. Smooth stones slay giants. These altars are open. If you'd like to come and pray, let the prayer be, Lord, help me to be patient with the process. Help me to understand there's still some smoothing out that needs to be done. I've been in this river for a long time, and I've faced a lot of opposition. There's been a lot of resistance, and there's been a lot of pressure, Lord. But help me to remain faithful over a few things. You'll make me ruler over many. Help me. There's giants in my life that need to fall. There's things that I have been confronted with that I don't feel I have the capability yet to confront. And Lord, I need your help. And the Lord is saying unto you, smooth stones slay giants. Stay in. Don't become frustrated. allow the process to perpetuate in your life. There will be failures, but learn to control them. Before long, it's practice after practice after practice. Practice makes perfect. And so David could look back at that mess of a man and say, not only am I going to give your carcass, but the host of the Philistines will I give their carcasses to the beast of the field and the fowls of the air. How can you say that, David? Because I know the smooth stones slay giants.
You provide the fire, and I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the
Here I am again.
And I will open up inside.
There's been many mistakes and failures along the way, but I'm not giving up.
You provide the fire.
I realize you're still working on me. I realize.
And I'll provide the sacrifice.
David is a type of Christ. Lord, you select smooth stones with which to defeat the foe. Help me to be a selection, Lord. Help me to be a smooth stone, God, where the rough edges of life have been smoothed over. Where I've stayed in the river, I've been washed by your word. Smooth stone, slay giants.
Fill me up, God.
Jesus, we're thankful for your word. Thank you for the examples we see in Scripture. Remind us this is a process. Help us to be patient while you work your will. We love you. We thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together we have with brothers and sisters. Like precious faith. Let's go from this place doing your will. Seeing your work in our lives as we spread forth your love the world around us. In Jesus' name we ask. God bless you for being in the house of the Lord this morning. Again, there are baked goods at the back. We ask that you would support the youth going to IYC. God bless you. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.
Also, if you guys bid on the silent auction, if you could see me before you leave today.